just to get down. Devin now. I wake up just to get down. Devin now. Hey, I wake up just to get down.
I don't know if they're
develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Ranked by their stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. The knees of the bees, man, people's champ, man, true now. I trust them with everything, every conference giving me confidence. Hipping is hopping and really no stopping them. Make you a champion, y'all put a sock in it, woo! But this is life, bro, they're at it all night though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devi crew.
I wake up just to get down. Devi now. I wake up just to get down. Devi now. Hey, I wake up just to get down.
I don't know if they're
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. It's Wednesday night. This is Devi Happy Hour, episode 9, covering Devi content. Right now, we're focusing on the NFL draft. You can find us on Twitter at Devi Happy Hour, and our email is devihappyhour@gmail.com. Real quick, special thanks to Tyler Gunther at @DHH_Tyler. Thank you, Tyler, for reaching out and giving us an avenue to bring you guys some Devi insanity. First off, I want to introduce my co-host, Andrew. How you doing, man?
I'm doing. We're another week closer to the draft and endgame. More importantly, endgame.
Oh, man. What? That is rude. It happened last year, the year before, there was a huge movie that came out the same weekend of the draft, too. So, I don't know, man.
April's insane.
Yeah, I will probably end up just going to, like, a midnight movie so I can watch the whole first round. So, that's probably what
I'm going to not go to it until probably May. So I don't want to have a lot of people in the theater. So
right.
But yeah, no, April's insane. You got the Masters, which I don't know if you care about or not. You're shaking your head now. No. The draft, and then obviously Game of Thrones.
Right.
And then Endgame. So
yeah, actually it works out really well because the theater that I usually go watch movies at is right next to Hooters. So I can go to Hooters and watch the draft. And then saunter right over to the movie theater.
I've never been to a Hooters.
Yeah, just good wings. I don't know. I like it. A little bit of news this week. Not too much. Another quiet week other than Georgia players getting arrested. Juwan Johnson officially transferred. It's been talked about for a while, but I think it actually just officially happened. He's a grad transfer from Penn State. He will play in Oregon next year. And it's, you said you had tweeted that it was most excited you were about any transfer.
I'm excited because Juwan Johnson last year, before the year started, was on my radar for receivers in this upcoming draft. And I think with quarterback like McSorley, it's tough for receivers to shine. So for him, I think going to where obviously Justin Herbert, who everyone thought was going to be QB1 this year, it definitely helps both their cases. So I'm excited to see what Johnson does for Herbert and vice versa.
Right. Yeah. He was one of the highest recruited and one of the highest ranked wide receivers there. I think a couple years ago, I remember him in Devi drafts going crazy high. This was supposed to be like a huge breakout year for him. And then, you know, McSorley doesn't exactly throw the ball a whole lot. And
no.
Yeah, it goes to an offense where they throw the ball a ton. So it helped, like you said before, it helps Herbert and helps Johnson. I mean Herbert needs some help, I think. So
yeah, and Herbert's lost his number one receiver with Dylan Mitchell, who's in the draft this year. So no, I definitely think both of them are going to benefit a lot.
Right. It's not ex-wives, it's dogs, they tell you. All right. Now we're going to get
one of the two.
We're going to get into our divisional fits. We've done the North. We've done the East. This week, we're going to do the South. First up, NFC South. We're going to start with the Atlanta Falcons, the Dirty Birds. They pick at 14. They pick at 45 in round 2, 79 in round 3. They have 2 fours, 2 fifths, a sixth, and a seventh. Andy, what do you think is their best fit there in Atlanta?
Now, we have to keep Tyler happy with these picks because this is his team, if he even listens to the show at this point. I talked about it in the Fantasy Warzone podcast I did, and I really like the fit since then. Benny Snell to take that Tevin Coleman sort of role. I'm not entirely sold on Ito Smith, and we've seen that they have no problem having a revolving door of backup running backs for Freeman. Now we gotta wait for my fat ass quit huffing and puffing.
And their trade offer. Looking at it real quick.
Pull the sheet back up.
Benny Snell.
Yeah. Now, as I was saying, with Benny Snell, I just think I'm not entirely sold on Ida Smith. Freeman is always hurt. So even if they like Ida Smith there and fantasy players like Ida Smith, I still think Benny Snell would be a nice compliment. So that's my reasoning for there. I think he'd be a good fit.
That's interesting. Obviously something he won't go early, but I can see him going second, third, or third round probably, maybe even fourth.
Oh, yeah. No, I think he's definitely a day three pick.
My best fit, the more I think about it, maybe I don't like it as much, but I think Ed Oliver and the reasoning behind that, I've heard it several other places too, is I think he is, if he falls to 14, that's a crime, but he may. And the fact of the matter is they're not going to – shit, what's their guy in the middle they just did? Grady Jarrett, there you go. They're most likely not going to be able to keep Grady Jarrett long term. So Ed Oliver would slide in pretty damn well into what Grady Jarrett does. And meanwhile, this season would be a hell of a lot of fun to watch beside him. So I really like Ed Oliver there. I think my worst fit for them is them taking a wide receiver early. I don't think they need a wide receiver at this point. Their offense is pretty well set. Any wide receiver in the first couple rounds, I think, would be just kind of a waste of draft capital. What did you think was your worst fit?
No, my worst fit, I think, just because of where they're at with 14, they're going to be right on the fringe where edge help's going to be there. It may not be. I know they got Vic Beasley there and Jared in the middle, but they could always use more edge, I think, just to complement Beasley. More consistent edge help. If someone like Brian Burns or Farrell's there, and they very well could be, I would like them to complement it, but I don't want them to reach on anyone like a Ja'Kai Polite, which based off of what they're saying with interviews and everything else isn't going to even be a factor at that point. But I think edge you can get with, like I said, Burns and Cleveland Farrell would be a nice compliment there. And then, too, just to throw in another good fit, I think Christian Wilkins, like you were talking about with Ed Oliver, he more realistically might be there, just to throw in an extra best fit that I didn't have written down.
Right. And 14 feels early for me. I've seen him picked there several times. I also have seen Ryan Burns there as well. So, but yeah, I think if they don't get any of those big couple, that it doesn't make sense for them to go too far and reach. Yeah, they're a team that I think it's really hard to figure out. I feel like they're talented enough to do something, but not talented enough to win at all. So they're kind of a tricky team, and I think their window's closing with Julio and Matt Ryan and Freeman probably only having, probably a good 3 years left in each of them. So I think they've got to, their best player available, the best fit, the best that would help them take the next step.
So. Yeah, they're definitely one of the teams that should just do best available.
Next, we switch to the Carolina Panthers. They have pick 16 in the first, 47 in the second, 77 in the third, 100 in the third, and they have a fourth, fifth, and sixth as well. Andy, what did you think was the best fit for Carolina?
Well, I was looking at their corners because I was trying to look at defense, because I think offense they're pretty well set with Olsen still being there. Ian Thomas, you didn't really get to see what he could be. Christian McCaffrey, obviously, everybody loves and knows what he can be and is. And then obviously Cam Newton. So I was kind of looking on the defensive side of the ball. And front seven, they're pretty well set. You still got Kuechly, you still got Short, Poe, Burserven they got. Then you look at the corners, and I was like, ugh. Because it's listed in their one as James Bradbury. And I was like, that's not a one you want when you have to cover Mike Evans, Michael Thomas, and Julio Jones six times all together. So I figured someone like a Greedy Williams, who I definitely think could be there for him at 16, would be a really good fit. Yeah. And he has the length, too, to be able to cover Julio, Mike Evans, and Michael Thomas, who are all big receivers. So I would definitely go Greedy Williams if I were them at 16.
So if Greedy's the best, who's the worst for you?
I think, and this is someone who it'd be a reach, even if it's not necessarily at 16, but like at 47, I still don't even necessarily like it. DeAndre Baker, cornerback out of Georgia. I really liked him. Daniel Jeremiah still has him listed as his number one corner, but me and it seems like a lot of other people aren't as high on DeAndre Baker. I really think it's Greedy Williams, Byron Murphy, and then you can make the case for Baker or Mullen from Clemson. So right. I just think that's a perfect scenario versus a worst case scenario, kind of like what we're trying to do in this segment for that one position for Carolina.
Right. Yeah. Like if they, for some reason, could get Mullen at 47, holy shit, they're doing great.
Oh, yeah. Mullen at 47 would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Especially being a Clemson guy right there in Charlotte.
So you went that way, and I actually went offensive line. I think their best fit would be Garrett Bradbury. I think he's getting mostly mocked later in the first. So I think he would be there at 16. And I just think they need to protect Cam. They need to protect McCaffrey. They need some offensive line help bad. But then that goes to my worst fit, I think, would be Cody Ford, who will obviously be there, but I think that's way too early to take him. And I just don't see him fitting their scheme as well. They need someone who's a little more versatile. A team – there are teams that can maximize Cody Ford's skill set, but I don't see Carolina as being one of them. So not very sexy for me to go offensive line, but I think that's what they need at this point.
I mean, it wasn't sexy for me to take the IDP approach either, because, I mean, who does that?
Hey, IDP is sexy.
Hey, I'm in my first IDP league. We talked about it.
I know. I'm kind of jealous. Let's take the football IDP league. I mean, I don't need any more leagues, but still. Still kind of a little jealous, but it's all good. All right, New Orleans Saints. This is a tricky one because they have picked 62 in round two and then two sixes and two sevens. So they don't really have a lot of options here.
No, they
do. Andrew, trade your best. Yeah, if he makes it, what is your best pick at 62?
Yeah, I know. I don't know if he'll make it is my only concern. If he makes it there, I think you hire Usain Bolt to run the card up to the commissioner for you. I think Debo Samuel with Drew Brees would just be the face I just made if you could have seen it. No, I just think with Debo, he'd be a perfect complement to Michael Thomas. While they kind of have similar styles as receivers with route running ability, Debo's a little bit smaller than Michael, so I definitely think he could just kind of be – you could throw him in the slot if you need to, throw him on the special teams. He's just – I've talked about him enough. I won't go over everything like I've done for weeks now. With his skill set, if you've listened to the show, you know what I like about him, and I think he'd be a really nice fit in New Orleans. I think at 62, that would just be their absolute best shot.
Right. And I've actually seen Irv Smith Jr. mock to them quite a bit, but I would rather see them get like a Jay Sternberger or a Foster Moreau. I like both of those tight ends a little bit better than I like Irv Smith at this point. I think Irv Smith's still the third tight end, but I don't know. I like the versatility of Sternberger and Moreau. I think they're both very good tight ends.
Yeah.
And I would see both of them being very, very lethal in the Saints offense.
Moreau, I think more so too, just because he's the better blocker than Sternberger.
Right.
So that's just something I always have as like an ace ahead of them.
Right. So I don't know. I don't know if they seem to have blocking tight ends already. So, but I think that to have one that can block and also catch passes, because now Josh Hill is number one on the depth chart, which is.
Did they just sign Jared Cook, or was that somebody else?
Who?
Jared Cook.
Oh God, you might be right. I don't care. I still want
to. I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm agreeing with you, knowing that Jared Cook there. So,
yeah, I still have. I mean, I know Jared Cook's like 37, but I don't know. I still think that to get a tight end there would be a great option. Yeah. And they may not play him a lot initially, anyways. So, I don't know. And then my worst fit is any speedy wide receiver. I don't want them to have another speedy guy. I really like Tre'Quan Smith and. Yeah. Michael Thomas. I'd like to see like a possession type of guy that can do more like Debo Samuel. I don't see them taking a wide receiver, but you never know. I mean, I think they're another team that's window is obviously now.
So, yeah, there is now. I mean, and if you think about it, they should have been in the Super Bowl the last 2 years, potentially.
Right, exactly. What is your worst fit there?
I put in anyone not named Debo, but I mean, like you talked about the speedy receivers. I think it's 62. A lot of the receivers that can help them immediately are going to be gone. So at that point, I would probably just shore up defense.
Right.
Take the available defensive player at that point if you don't like any of the receivers there or tight ends. Like, obviously, if Irv Smith falls or Debo, jump all over that. But, no, they're in a unique situation where, again, they're like a best player available sort of type. But
they've got to be careful. I said Jason Foster, but at the same time, they do, I think, need defense. Their defense got better as the year got along last year, but it got exposed a lot as well. So maybe that's what they should be getting around to, and we're both wrong. So anyways, last team in the AFC South is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are picking at pick 5. pick 39, pick 70 in the third. And also they have a fourth and fifth and seventh round pick. We both agree on the worst, on the best fit here. And what we're hearing, it doesn't sound like he's going to make it to five, but what is your best fit there?
I'm going Devin White. They lost Quan Alexander in free agency. And I apologize to listeners who are going to be wanting offense, but turning into IDP happy hour, but it's just the way these teams are lining up. So no, I just think Devin White would be a faster version of Quan Alexander. I think he's a more athletic version of Quan Alexander. So I just, and plus he doesn't have the ACL injury that Quan Alexander had last year either. So kind of get a whole new fresh restart with him on a rookie contract. You don't have to pay him a whole lot, obviously. So I just think Devin White's a really good fit for Tampa Bay for what they want to do on defense.
Right. I wholeheartedly agree there. He's, yeah, he's awesome. I mean, and they need to, Kendall Beckwith is not the answer to replace Quan Alexander. It's definitely, I mean, if they don't get Devin White, maybe at Oliver, I mean, they need like a impact defensive player. Like, and I think their worst fit is any offensive player. They do not need offensive help at this point. Like I imagine they'll take some later, but they really have to get better on defense and they have to do it quickly. So that's, and you had a worst fit as well. It was also another linebacker.
Yeah, I just did another linebacker. Like somebody, linebackers really fall off after Devin Bush and Devin White. So once there's no one named Devin, it really falls off. Mac Wilson is someone I like a little bit from what I've seen of him, the very little I've seen, I will say. Obviously, I've been focusing more on the offensive side of things. And it's an Alabama linebacker, so obviously he's going to get talked about and looked at, but he's not like the Reuben Fosters that we've had coming out and bringing forward. He's not like Reuben Foster where we're used to being talked about in the top 10. Obviously Foster fell because of off the field issues and so on, but talent wise he's not on that level. So I think for them I would rather have Quan Alexander on one ACL than Mac Wilson with two. So obviously he's not going to be coming back either, so he's very rich and happy in Tampa Bay. So, yeah, that's just my thing. I think it's kind of like we talked about earlier with the corners for Carolina. There's a time and a person to get, and then if you pass on it, then don't try to come back to it later. The well's going to be too dried up, I think.
Right. I have a strong feeling that if Devin White goes four, that they're going to do something really stupid at five. But I just have that sinking feeling.
A one, a two. Yeah. A three, two fives, and a seven. So, I mean, even if Devin White's not there at five, I would maybe trade back to, like, someone like New York or Denver to, like, 10.
Right.
Because 10, you could still potentially get Devin Bush. So, just that's another fun little play the GM kind of thing.
All right, we'll switch gears to the AFC South. First, we'll start out with the Texans, who pick at 23. They pick at 54 and 55 in the second. They have the 86th in the third, then they also have a 5, 6, and a 7th round. I was kind of surprised by your best fit, Andrew.
Yeah, no, I want to see Noah Fant with Deshaun Watson. I just want to see Deshaun Watson with a reliable tight end. Griffin and Thomas, just they're not number one tight ends in my opinion. I think Fant's a versatile weapon like we've talked about where he can line up a tight end, he can line up at receiver if you need to. So it'd be interesting to see him kind of be in a Bill O'Brien offense and what he can do.
I actually finally picked, we've ragged on him enough, but I picked Cody Ford. I actually think he'd be a good fit in Houston. I think they really need some guys that can pass block. So I know we've ragged on him quite a bit, but 23. And then my worst fit was actually to take a tight end early. So I don't know. They have some tight ends on the roster. I think eight. They're trying to compete with the Ravens. And they've drafted a couple in the last couple of years as well. So I just don't want to see them burn another pick on tight end. I know the ones they have are not very good. The Jordan Akins, the get out of there. Don't put that there. they have Jordan Thomas, the Jordan brothers. So, yeah, I don't want to see them take a tight end early. But what is your worst fit?
My worst fit, I think, for them looking ahead to round two, they need the corner help now that they lost Kevin Johnson. And you could have argued even with Kevin Johnson, they would have needed the corner help. So I think getting someone in that second round, like we talked about, like Trayvon Mullen being there, maybe for some unknown reason, Murphy falls a little bit or we just talked about DeAndre Baker, even though, I mean, you've got 2 seconds, so you could even move up to the end of the first and right. get someone like a Byron Murphy. So it'd be interesting to see what they can do. But at the same time, if they sit back and wait, they still might get Trayvon Mullen. But they just need to get corner help. They're, again, just like Carolina, they're in division with a lot of receivers, so they've got to shore up what they can.
Next up, we have the Indianapolis Colts. We have a bunch of stick-to-football Hall of Famers that are rooting for the Colts. you just
yeah, typed we got Dan Barnes and the Oreo happy.
You believe you talked, you typed that in. Anyways, they have picked 26. In the second, they have 34 and 59. Third, they have 89. They have 2 in the 4, 1 in the 5th, 1 6th, 1 7th. What is your best fit?
I'm going to steal Dan Barnes' best fit because this is all he talked about in Indianapolis when I was with him, is he wants a big receiver for end zone targets and red zone targets as well, and that's going to be J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. In college, he didn't look the most athletic. He didn't have the best traits, but my God, if you threw a jump ball to him, he was going to win it. So I think for Andrew Luck, they – got a little bit of that with Eric Ebron. But at the same time, if you add Whiteside there, if Ebron's covered, then you got Whiteside and vice versa. So I just think it's about building around Andrew Luck at this point. Again, they're another team that's kind of in this win now window with in the AFC, you got Indianapolis, Kansas City, and New England, and you can argue Cleveland going into the mold. So you've got 4 teams fighting there in the AFC for the top spot based on moves they've made this year. And Indianapolis has been pretty quiet. So, but I think someone getting someone like Arcega-Whiteside would jump them right back up into the thick of things.
Right. I actually, we put this guy as a worst fit everywhere, including this team, but I actually really like DK Metcalf for Indianapolis. And I believe the Stick to Football this week, they also did that. I had typed this in before that. And then I listened to their mock draft from Monday, and they talked about Metcalf and Indy. And I like it because he's not going to have to be one right away. Like, he's going to have time. You know, Hilton's there. Ebron's there. Unchis is there. Metcalf will have time to learn that X role, to be that X guy. And, you know, he won't have to be relied on. And I really like the fit there in Indianapolis. And you apparently don't.
So we're going to play movie night here. Did you see the really crappy Batman movie with George Clooney as Batman? That yes. had Bane in it. So T.Y. Hilton is that little guy before Bane gets the juice. And DK Metcalf is T.Y. Hilton on the Bane juice to me. They're kind of the same guy, but Hilton's obviously the better receiver. I'm not saying they're the same receiver.
Right.
But I just think Metcalf, him being stiff and his flexibility is really starting to bother me the more I watched him and when I finalized my receiver rankings that you love so much, made me drop him to 2. At the same time, though, I don't think he would help them to the point where if you're going to go receiver, I would rather go for like a big receiver type than or a speedy receiver type, like a slot receiver, I guess, instead of a DK Metcalf where you're going to stretch the field because you kind of already have that with T.Y. Hilton. That's just my opinion. I don't think he's a horrible fit. I mean, obviously, him and Luck would be fantastic, but I just think there's a better pick to be made.
I think 26 is as early as I would take him. It would be nice if he fell into the second, but I don't think he would. As far as the worst fit for them, I had trouble thinking of a worse like player for them just because
– I did too.
I think that staff really knows what they're doing, and they're not going to make any terrible, terrible picks. So that's why I even think Metcalf would be an all right pick there. There's not many teams I want Metcalf to go to, and Indianapolis is definitely one of them. Next, we're going to shift gears. This is the Jacksonville Jaguars, who surprisingly are picking 7th. A lot of people thought they would be a lot better this last year. They pick 38th in the second, 69 and 98 in the third, and they have a 4th, 6th, and 7th. And we both kind of went along the same lines here as offensive linemen. Because, Andrew, what do you think their best fit would be there?
You have an offensive lineman as well. I have Jonah Williams in there just because of his versatility. You can argue because of his size and length to be inside and outside. They got Cam Robinson last year. He obviously got hurt. So I think Cam Robinson you can kind of bring along too. And if you want, you could throw Williams in at guard and have your left side of your line solid with Cam Robinson and Jonah Williams shoring it up. And then I just like him more than who you chose. And I'll explain why in a little bit. But, yeah, I think offensive line, you got to protect Nick Foles, and you've got to help Leonard Fournette out as long as you can agree with him and not cut him or make him lose his salary.
And my best fit was your worst fit, which is Juwan Taylor. I just think he's the best offensive lineman in the draft, honestly. I think he's the best tackle. I think he's the best offensive lineman, and they've got to go there. I think, you know, Jonah was going to be top 10 for a long time, but now it's kind of – he's kind of being poo-pooed as being taken that early. So why do you think Juwan Taylor does not belong at pick?
To Florida – and I'm a Florida fan. Florida offensive linemen go along two ways. You either get Marcus Gilbert and the Pouncey brothers, or you get DJ Humphreys. And I see more of DJ Humphreys in Juwan Taylor than I do Marcus Gilbert. I think he got beat at times. The SEC competition obviously is tough, so you can't always say it, but I definitely think he's more of a zone blocker than a physical run blocker that Leonard Fournette's going to want for Jacksonville. So I just think Williams kind of fits that mold better, where he's your traditional nitty-gritty offensive lineman, or Juwan Taylor is kind of your fancier, as I didn't do jazz hands. I just think for what Jacksonville wants, he's a better fit. I don't think Juwan Taylor is horrible. I just think he needs to go to the right team.
My worst fit is Dwayne Haskins. I really, really, really think that would be a really bad move if Haskins fell to them and they took him. I don't see the point in it. If you're going to take a developmental quarterback, there's better ones to take late, I think. So just at pick 7, I think that's a bad pick. But that's just my – I don't know if he'll be there. I honestly think he'll be gone before then. But
yeah, I think someone trades up for him.
I hope so. Then I don't have to worry about the best fit or worst fit. All right, last team in the AFC South is the Tennessee Titans. They have pick at 19, 51, 83 in the third. Then they have a 4th, 5th, and 7th. Andrew, what do you think is their best fit?
I think for them, it's kind of like we talked about when we were talking about the Ravens. They need a receiver for Lamar Jackson that can adjust to whatever he decides to throw. And as I was typing in the name, we were on the call here, and you were like, oh, God, don't do that to him. They have Corey Davis, and Corey Davis is a talented player, but he's dead in Tennessee. And that team already says they want to go through with Derrick Henry. But I think N'Keal Harry is a versatile enough weapon, whereas we've seen what he can do with the special teams as well, with having the punt returns in college. I think he's a better receiver than Corey Davis. I think he could be the one there, but you're shaking your head now. Don't be one of those Corey Davis truthers. You're all going to fizzle out of it.
Way in hell N'Keal Harry is better than Corey Davis.
I'm telling you now, I'd rather have N'Keal Harry than Corey Davis.
No, I would not. No way in hell. But
you get Corey Davis, and I'm or get N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal Harry gets on a better team than Tennessee, I might take Harry over Davis. I am waiting till Davis's rookie contract is over. He can get the hell out of Tennessee.
Oh yeah, I mean if he goes anywhere else, he'll be fine. But I'm saying on Tennessee, I would rather have N'Keal Harry.
I would rather not wish any of that hell on any wide receiver.
I agree too. Same with Baltimore. So, I don't want them to get any receivers, but
that's why I get. Yeah, I actually went defense. I went Christian Wilkins. I think that would be a good fit there. And then I don't really want to say too much about that. I just think they need that help on the defensive line. He would line up great next to Jarrell Casey. That'd be it'd be fun to watch.
I like it.
Then their worst fit for me that I see a lot of people are putting Fant there. And that really I just don't have lost all faith in Marcus Mariota at this point, being a sustainable quarterback. I think he's an all right quarterback. I think he is going to be better this year than he was last. I think he's an all right quarterback, but I just don't see him as the type that can sustain multiple weapons in a passing game. So I would rather see them take, you know, later down in the draft a couple wide receivers and you know, try to develop like an Andy Isabella, you know, something like that. Just I would rather see them go deeper and take a wide receiver, one that they won't ruin. Although I love Isabella, so why do I want him to go there? Anyways,
I loved Adam Humphreys, and I didn't want him to go there. But
right, oh yeah, man. What's your worst fit, Andrew?
It's kind of going along the same lines here. I think DK Metcalf, if he goes to Tennessee, he'll be forever Laquon Treadwell 2.0, and it's not because of him, but I think it'd be because of that offense. I don't think he's versatile enough to be able to make an impact and work his way into the thick of things like I think a N'Keal Harry could. And that's my biggest worry. And every time I look at DK Metcalf and I see that Ole Miss helmet, and I'm like, just don't be Laquon Treadwell 2.0. So
right. Yeah, it scares me. Like them picking him that high would scare the crap out of me. And it would be I think one of the worst picks of the draft. And yeah,
I saw him today, and not to cut you off, but just to talk about like a perfect dream scenario, and just for fantasy purposes too, that Green Bay took DK at 12 and Noah Fant at 30.
Why? I'm done with mock drafts, man. I don't know. I just didn't know. I just don't like it. I don't know. I just don't like it. I know I'm not. I said last week I didn't want Green Bay to end up with Fant because they just don't know how to use the tight end in that. You know, but they could end up using him just as a slot receiver.
Yeah. And
be, yeah. I don't know. I don't think he'll make it to 30, though. So, anyways.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah. We do have some listener questions. Actually, I didn't check in for the last day and a half or so. So some of these are total surprises to Andrew and I. Commissioner McGriff, he's in our DHH chat and in several of our chats, and he's a very audible dude. He said he'd like to hear how the top end of this class compares to your top-ranked 2020 class players. If you rank them together, how many from this class make the top five? I think we talked about that recently, and for me, it's zero. Yeah, honestly.
You're talking zero. Make it in the top.
Yeah, five. If you put 2019 and 2020 together, nobody in this class is better than the top five in 2020, in my opinion. So.
I don't think anybody in the top 10.
Probably pretty close. We talked about that. Wasn't it eight? We said probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Between the receivers and tight ends, to be honest, I haven't dove into it. So at this point, to me, tight ends a desolate wasteland for 2020 compared to 2019. Obviously, you got Fant, Hockenson, and Smith. No, we've talked about it with Bugs now at Alabama emerging after running a 4.25 in the junior pro day. My guy, Jerry Jeudy, who I absolutely love. And then T. Higgins, just to name a couple receivers. And then your guy from Colorado, Chenault. Mm-hmm. So obviously running back.
Yeah, if you added defensive players, and I might throw a couple from this class into the top 10. But, yeah, like Quinnen and Bosa would be in my overall top 10, I think, if you threw in the defensive players. But yeah, it's next year is going to be fun, man. I mean, yeah, I've seen many guys in my leagues posturing for next year, like just totally tanking this year, throwing away everything they have in 2019 to set themselves up for 2020. I mean, it's that damn good. All right. This is a really good question. Actually, this is Mr. Joshua R, who's the FF mercenary. This is a good one. Devy League startups, what are your ideal number of Devy spots, offensive only? And how do you incorporate the Devy slots into the draft? And are they separate or assigned? Now, we right now are doing a Devy draft for the DHH. And this is, I think, the best way to do it, is to have like draft slots, basically. Like our fifth and sixth round are our Devy picks. So, and they are just into the draft. Like we're drafting, you know, Patrick Mahomes, you know, Barkley, all that, you know, and then, but then your picks 501 all the way to 612 are your Devy pick. So that, I think that's the best way to do it. I honestly do. It's really hard to pick, but you could put the Devy players in there too. I don't like that as much, but I like the slots like that. And as far as an ideal number, it's hard to say because some leagues limit, you know, like teams can only have like five, but then if you trade them, you know, so I think a pretty good ratio is roughly five a team. So if it's a 12-team league, have 60 Devy players in the league. That way it doesn't deplete the rookie drafts too much. But I wouldn't fault anybody that did 10 either. So I think the sweet spot is in between 5 and 10. If you do too much more than that, the rookie drafts are just terrible. I mean, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel trying to find the rookies that made through the Devy. So,
yeah.
So that's my opinion, but.
Yeah, no, I knew you would have a very good answer for that and a very good way to explain it, so I just kind of sat back and let you do it.
Right. And Eric Flynn asked, which quarterback, running back, wide receiver, or tight end are going to shock us in being first-round NFL draft picks? Do you have one that is going to probably seep into the first round that's going to be a shock?
Yeah, seep is definitely the word I would use. A seeping like a pus from a horrible wound is Daniel Jones. I think he's definitely going to make it into the first, and he should have no business being in the first.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And I think if you'd have asked me 3 months ago, it would be Josh Jacobs and DK Metcalf. Those guys have really done it. As far as a guy that could really surprise me, I don't know. I mean, like the quarterbacks is always a wild card. Daniel Jones, obviously. You know, there was a buzz there for a minute about Hollywood Brown, but I don't see it that being a case anymore.
Yeah, I think it's finally scaring teams off.
I think if any running back goes in the first round now, it would be kind of a shock. I think Jacobs has a chance, but I would not be surprised if he fell out of the first round either.
I just don't know where he would fit apart from Baltimore in the first round. Like if Baltimore doesn't take – like I don't see someone trading up to 32 for a running back.
So. I thought Houston might take him too. They don't seem too enthralled with Lamar Miller. So, yeah, there's – if any tight end named – not named Fan or Hockenson makes it in the first, I think that'd be a pretty big surprise as well. And Eric also asked, who has been your all-time top-rated Devy prospect? I've only been playing Devy for a couple years, and it's Trevor Lawrence. It's Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I have not seen any sort of hype for him that I have actually seen. Saquon, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, Saquon was one of the – my first year in Devy, he was the big thing. So, but I think the buzz for Trevor, especially in Superflex leagues, is just stupid. You can get like Andrew Luck and a firstborn child for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, probably.
So yeah, I think Saquon probably is the highest I've seen, but then Trevor Lawrence is getting in that stratosphere at this point. Justice Hill fanboy, let me see. At Debbie Distributor is his Twitter handle. He asked, if a player like Lamar Keith Brown was drafted to the Packers, Steelers, or Saints, where would you take them?
At all those places, he'd probably be the two. I mean, the only place probably you could argue it is New Orleans with Tre'Quan Smith. I think Marquise is better than James Washington. And just because Tre'Quan's been in there a year before and he kind of got integrated towards the end of the year. No, I think if his foot's healthy and he goes to any of those spots, especially Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh just develops receivers. That's why I've been saying I don't want Debo to go there. It's just because I know I don't want him to play the Browns. But any receiver that goes to Pittsburgh, I'm putting my money on.
Marquise Brown is a player I'm avoiding. I'm nervous as hell about.
Oh, I am too.
Yeah, I'm not going. I don't care if he gets drafted to the Colts, Packers, Steelers, whatever. I still will not touch him. I'm worried about. You know, the John Ross. I got burnt on John Ross, and I see him. There's too many similarities in their game and the injury history and everything. It worries me a little bit. That being said, if he's still there at like 205 or something, yeah, I'll take him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and for me too, like with Marquise, I just pulled up my receiver rankings because I had to double check. He was my 7th receiver, obviously behind 6 other pretty big names, but I mean, Marquise, without his foot being hurt, I'd probably have him number 4. So it's just his foot to me, that injury. I know Sammy Watkins had something similar to it, and he's been pretty consistently healthy with his foot since then. But it's his frame on top of that injury is what concerns me.
And final question. This is from Matthew Jackson. This is something we'll address in future episodes. Matthew is at DHH Matt. He's another guy in – he's got a weird Baker Mayfield avatar. Anyways, he said we'd love to hear us talk about top Devies for 2019 college season and possibly stack them up against this year's rookies. So we kind of did that with our first question. Yeah, like the top Devies that are coming out after next year, you know, or we just talked about them. We will probably delve more into those in future shows as well. So
yeah, I'm excited to dive into Devy players that are on Devy rosters right now, because we talked about that 2020 draft is just going to be
right. Yeah, I'm super excited for the draft this year, but I am also excited for, you know, to do our recaps after the draft and then get going. You know, like get the work in. You know, start getting things ready for next year. And we're gonna do a mock draft tomorrow night on the Dynasty Owners Manual. We're gonna do a Dynasty Owners crossovers. Yeah, you know. I'm just excited to dive into next year and the years beyond. So Andrew, it's time to say adieu. Where can they find your work at?
Obviously on Twitter. I've got my running back rankings dropping. Well, when you listen to this, they would have dropped today, on the Score Crow, and I have it as my pinned tweet, all of my rankings so far. I've got my tight ends, wide receivers that Dwight hates, and my running backs, which I'm probably going to make some people mad with. I just a bit of a spoiler, I'm not very high on James Williams like everybody else seems to be. No, I'll drop my running back rankings then. Next week, I'll have my quarterbacks. And then draft week, I'll have my full top 100 big board going of players that I've graded and watched and so on. So a lot of stuff's coming out on Scorecore right now. Afterwards, once teams get landing spots, that's when a lot of my Dynasty Half Hour stuff's going to pick up.
And you can find me. Just got signed on to write for Dynasty League Football, which I'm just stupid excited about. They're someone I've always looked up for. So you can find my work starting there. And you can also listen to us on the Devy Owner's Manual as well. So that's pretty much all I got at this point. Just keep, you know, follow me on Twitter at FF People's Champ. And follow us at Devy Happy Hour and email us at devyhappyhour@gmail.com. And we will talk to you guys next week.